What is up, Vermont Edition podcast listener? This is Elodie Reed, digital producer for VPR. Just to let you know, this podcast has been edited for brevity and clarity. Enjoy.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Life has changed in so many ways for so many people since we first started seeing widespread COVID-19 cases and resulting regulations on work, school, travel, and socializing. Today on the show, we're going to focus on what it's been like to navigate dating during the pandemic, primarily what it's been like for people who weren't already living with a partner when the lockdown started, or when we had to pick our COVID pod. Nationally, companies that run online dating platforms have been noticing striking increases in people using their services. While online dating has been continuing to see steady growth already, Match Group, which controls 60% of dating apps, reported a 15% increase in use during the second quarter of 2020. Hinge said messages in March were up 30% compared to January and February. Tinder, Bumble, and others have all reported a COVID bump. But what about when you want to get off the app and meet in person? Right now, that's pretty much against the rules in Vermont, unless you live alone and want to make that person your one other household. But even before the restrictions on social gatherings, people in new relationships have had to navigate conversations about COVID safety and pandemic pods. And what about relationships that weren't started during COVID, but were maybe in a transition phase? Like, for example, for you, did you move in with your partner sooner than you had thought you might? Did your budding relationship fizzle because you can't see each other in person in the same way? Have you found yourself not dating and feeling lonely or isolated, or maybe really happy in your own company? We're going to spend the hour talking about all of this today, and we would love to hear your experience. Joining us first today is Marla Goldstein. She's a Burlington-based relationship coach whose new business is cheekily called G-Spot Coaching, and she works exclusively with clients under age 28. She has a particular interest in helping people understand and make the most out of those dating apps we were just talking about. Marla is also a dating violence educator with Steps to End Domestic Violence. Marla Goldstein, welcome to Vermont Edition. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me, Jane. It is such an honor to be on the show today.
Did you actually start G-Spot Coaching during the pandemic?
Yeah, the idea came about last winter, and throughout the rest of the year, it was just something that I've now had a lot of found time to be able to do. And I figured that this would be a really strategic moment in history to launch a relationship coaching business that really focuses on dating apps. So it was all very synchronous, but regardless of COVID, this would have been something I pursued anyway.
So given, okay, so there's certainly advice that goes with dating apps, no matter what the situation is. For example, on your website, you talk about reasons why someone, how you might help someone by saying, yeah, don't post that picture of you with the fish. That's not going to help you get a date. That's not really COVID specific. But we are seeing, you know, there's a lot more activity happening online in the dating realm because we can't see each other in person in the same ways, or because, you know, maybe one person in the relationship feels more comfortable with in-person get-togethers and the other person doesn't. And so you have to navigate all that. So what are you talking about that's specific to this weird moment in time when it comes to how to utilize dating apps?
So I feel like socially, millennials and Gen Z, we've really been struggling with meeting people in real life. A lot of us don't like talking on the phone. Our predominant means of communication is through social media apps or through texting. A lot of my friends absolutely can't stand talking on the phone, or the thought of approaching somebody in person is very anxiety provoking for them. So I feel like this age demographic was moving towards dating apps being the predominant way of meeting new people, regardless of what was happening socially in the rest of the world. But the pandemic absolutely propelled us into the realm of dating apps being the only option to meet people right now. It's really the safest way to meet people right now because nobody should be going out socializing at this time. And I'm sure a lot of people are weary about approaching people in real life and connecting that way. So this is a way to be able to meet people safely in your home through your phone. Very low risk.
Do you have to put on your profile, you know, like following COVID protocols? You know, there's a lot of different ways people are communicating to different people in their social circles. about whether or not you're willing to meet in person, you know, whether dating or not. You know, there have been families where back when we were able to have COVID pods, it's like, which family are you going to join for your COVID pod? And how do you tell that other family, yeah, sorry, we're not going to be meeting up with you? I imagine that's similar in some ways in the dating realm too.
Yeah, I know some apps have totally caught up with that. I know Bumble has the option to talk about your COVID boundaries. So I think your options are like, okay to meet in person, okay to meet in person distance, okay to meet in person distance with masks. So there's all these like little nuanced things that we wouldn't be have to think about if we weren't in this situation. And for myself, I would know, you know, if I was on dating apps right now, knowing somebody's COVID procedures would be my absolute priority.
It would
so
be.
Absolutely.
Before you go into any other steps, like even chatting.
Well, I'm immune compromised, so I'm an exception because even though I'm 25, I don't know what can happen to my body if I were to contract COVID. So a lot of my friends and folks that I work with are not taking that as seriously. They're still taking risks, or they're still at the time when we were able to, you know, socialize safely before this new order came into effect. People were still meeting up with people that they just connected with on apps. But for myself, I would say that knowing how somebody has handled their day-to-day life and the adjustments and sacrifices they may or may not have made during this time would really impact my motivation to continue connecting with them further or not.
Yeah, that's super interesting. And I wonder, you know, for how many people and maybe you listening out there, like is knowing somebody's COVID boundaries important to you as you think about whether to even start something online with someone else? You know, is entering a relationship or a chat or some kind of exchange, is it important to know what the person's COVID situation and ideas around safety are? I'll also just note, Marla, you know, the idea of willing to meet with masks probably means something different in 2020 than it would have if you put it on a dating app in 2019. So we'll see if it sticks around after this particular phase. Let's talk to Julie, who's calling in from Colchester. Hi, Julie. Go right ahead. What's your situation?
Hi. Yeah, so I turned 40 this year, and I was like, I decided in January this was going to be my year. But I was dating somebody when COVID hit, and they were their reaction was just to kind of like shut down everything, which, you know, I respect, I understand. So I cautiously got on the apps. Like your guest, I also am technically immune compromised, but I'm pretty healthy. So if I struck up, you know, a conversation with someone, like my first question was like, do you believe in science? Do you wear masks? Then like, you know, how much do you socialize? So I did go on a couple dates. I was in a couple short-term relationships. That was interesting. But also, you know, when things got worse about a month ago, I was like, you know what, it's just not worth it. So I actually got off of the apps and have decided to take a break. I will say, though, that the whole kind of the, I guess, ironic part of this year is that because of the situation we're living in, I've also been like, you know what, I want to take this chance. If I found somebody I really, you know, really liked or really connected with, I was more likely to meet them in person maybe a little sooner on, but still having like an understanding of masks. I went on a lot of socially distanced hikes with people. That's like a great first date. Obviously not so much for the winter time, but it's very interesting, like the COVID twist on dating. Although my friends tell me out of everybody they know, I've been the most successful, even though I'm still single. So I would just say, like, you know, for people out there who are thinking about doing it, like the apps are a great first way to start. Obviously right now with the ban on multi-household gatherings, it's really not conducive in my mind to date. But, you know, I also know people that have met each other and decided to instantly move in, and now one of them's engaged. So, you know, I guess there's something for everybody, but you know, safety does have to come first.
Yeah, Julie, that's so interesting. Thanks for sharing what you've been going through. Marla, are you hearing other people with sort of similar ideas and approaches to what Julie's talking about with her life?
Yeah, I think that life isn't going to stop for anybody right now. Yeah, things are on pause, but like time is still happening. So this is not really, if this was an excuse for somebody to not be pursuing relationships or to be working on their romantic life, then if you can't get it together to work on that under these conditions, then after the pandemic is done, how motivated were you really to take charge of that part of your life? Because this is going to be our new normal for a long time. And it's okay to dip your toes in just like Julie did and then pull back when you realize that you don't have the emotional capacity for this. It's not feeling good. This is not a good investment of my time. But to be approaching this as if, oh, I'll just wait until COVID is done before I start investing in this really important part of my life, that's a lot of valuable time that you're just on standby for when there are things that you can be doing now to fulfill that part of your life.
Yeah, yeah, that's interesting. I mean, Julie also mentioned that, you know, she's willing to maybe take a chance in a way that perhaps previously she wouldn't have. And we got a couple of emails from people who it sounds like are kind of in similar positions. Sydney wrote in from Burlington saying, I had just decided to get back into the dating game when suddenly lockdown hit us. I got super frustrated and sad when thinking about the indefinite amount of time I would have to endure before getting any opportunities to meet new people. I moved into a new apartment in June and met the other people who lived in the building over the next couple of months. Turns out there's a pretty great guy living in my building. A few months later, and I've started dating my downstairs neighbor. We never have to leave our apartment, and I couldn't have asked for a better situation right now. And then Rachel wrote in to say, the one good thing that has come out of this pandemic is realizing that my longtime neighbor is the person I've been looking for all these years. We have lived next to each other for 8 years, and since we both live alone, we relied on each other for help during the spring isolation. We shared food, errands, small tasks around our homes, and gradually more time together. Slowing down opened my eyes to the love that was so close by and almost missed. Marla, that's so cool for both Rachel and Sydney, and maybe they wouldn't have found those people in a different kind of global situation.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's really remarkable that, you know, the relationships that are forming during this time. But I also think about how on the other side of this, if somebody really is set on meeting somebody because they don't want to be going through this like pandemic situation without a partner, I worry that people might not be as strict with the boundaries and standards that they would have had pre-pandemic, just because they would rather be with somebody out of, you know, just having a person there and not wanting to go through this alone than taking the time to find a person that they really connect with and putting in the work and going on date after failed date. And I think it's beautiful and synchronous that those two listeners were able to find people that were so close to home. That does sound like a wonderful dream. And I also really feel for the people that are compromising their expectations and their boundaries because they just want to have anybody that will come their way to share this time with. So yeah. My heart goes out to those people as well.
Well, and thirdly, maybe the people who aren't compromising and aren't finding someone and are really, really feeling the loneliness and isolation. I mean, some people I think aren't. Some people maybe, as you know, we heard from Julie who said, I pulled back. And so, you know, maybe there are people who are especially finding company in themselves or company in friends that isn't the same as dating. But, you know, if what you're talking about, Marla, somebody who really would like to be in a close, intimate relationship or a physically intimate relationship and can't be, boy, it's really difficult right now for so many people going through that.
And the natural thing to do would be to adjust your expectations to be able to meet the dating pool that's available.
Right.
That's what anyone would do right now. So there's no fault in that, but also just keeping at the forefront that your needs are valid, your boundaries, your expectations, those are all meaningful. Those are all important. And it's okay to adjust them to accommodate someone, but to completely eliminate those just to not be alone. There could be more deep diving done there as to why somebody would be willing to eliminate those really important pieces of who they are just to meet someone else where they're at.
We've been talking a little bit about how tricky it all is during COVID-19. So let's turn now to Laura Skolarski, who's actually trying to navigate all of this herself right now. Hi, Laura. Nice to talk with you. Hi.
Good to talk with you as well.
You know, usually we don't have a guest on and the first thing I say is tell me about your relationship status. So I apologize for, you know, jumping into it right away. But tell me a little bit about what you've been going through with your dating life and love life during this pandemic.
Sure. Yeah. So, you know, pre-pandemic, I'd been traveling a ton. So dating itself was actually somewhat difficult. when it came to that. But I was in kind of like an early relationship back when the pandemic started, but similar to the first caller, just because of the uncertainty and everything just kind of, you know, we just decided to distance. And without having the strong roots of, you know, a long-term emotional relationship, you know, it gets harder and harder to maintain those feelings with the distance. So I did hop back on dating apps. You know, I feel it's important to, you know, have someone to share your life with, especially in these harder times, to have somebody to, you know, share the burden with you and spend your time with. And to be honest, it's actually a little bit safer, you know, because you would have someone, just one person. Yeah, I mean, in recent times, I actually did just start living on my own, which presents new challenges, but it also allows me flexibility to just monitor my own risk and not somebody else that I live with.
Yeah.
So it's been pretty nice in that aspect, but it is still pretty tricky, you know, engaging in these conversations, like they said, looking at your boundaries and kind of making accommodations for that. Like, for instance, with it getting colder, it's actually really a lot more difficult to meet people outside.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, pre-regulations, when it started getting much colder, you know, we got takeout, tried to find a table outside, just bearing with the cold wind, just trying to eat outside, getting to know each other. It can be pretty difficult, and then the pressure even to, you know, come inside. So maybe you'll invite somebody over much sooner than maybe you're comfortable with.
Yeah.
So, you know, that is another consideration.
Well, Laura, what's it been like since the governor changed the social gathering rules too? And so now, generally speaking, you're not allowed to gather with any other households. However, if you live alone, you are allowed to gather with one other household. And the governor further clarified that it doesn't have to be direct family, but you basically have to choose one other household, which isn't necessarily going to be somebody you're newly dating. So how are you dealing with that and that potential for further isolation?
Right. So when the regulations were first put out there and it mentioned individuals who live alone, you know, they can visit with immediate family, it was a little bit of a shock to me, because immediately I was like, okay, well, what about me? Where am I in this? Am I just, you know, not supposed to date and see anybody?
Right.
So it was pretty isolating, especially, you know, new to the community. And then it wasn't addressed and I didn't know really how to go about it. So it was a little bit anxiety inducing when I first heard that. And other people who are in the same situation expressed the same anxiety and a little bit of, you know, frustration about it. Because our community is very strongly adhering to these regulations and these orders. And then so when you have feelings of wanting to, you know, share this burden, you know, it's the pandemic, you know, you become lonely. So when you feel like you can safely break those orders, you know, then the community will actually look down upon you.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of the fear. And then I do understand there was the amendment to kind of share households. So with that, it's definitely better. I have met somebody. It takes a, you know, a couple times, you know, you meet on Zoom, meet in person in the cold.
Yeah. Hey, Laura, Marla mentioned that, you know, this is a long time we're going through this. We've been going through this since at least March. It's not going to be over right away, even with the possibility of vaccines coming down the pike. You know, for many of us, this could be close to another year. And even then, we don't know what this is going to look like. So, you know, Marla was saying life doesn't stop just because of COVID. And I don't know what your particular situation is, but, you know, when you're dating and when you're trying to figure out what your next life steps are, and, you know, for some of us, there's also the question of, do I want to have a long-term partner? Do I want to have kids? If there's a clock that might be ticking, do I need to keep that in mind? So how are you thinking about, like, how to manage the global situation we're in with your own life and goals?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I think there's a smart way to go about it. You know, I've kind of come to my own methods of, you know, dating, trying to find that person who does meet that criteria, right? You know, to have a long-term relationship, to move forward. I do think there's a lack in kind of a more national guideline on how to date and how to go about it, how to, you know, bring people into your pod safely. But, you know, I think between, you know, just the personal pressure and, like you said, like some of the biological pressure, I mean, there is no stopping meeting somebody, you know, and if there is a safe way to go about doing that, you know, I think it's very necessary,
yeah,
to be honest.
Well, I really appreciate you talking a little bit about your life. As I said, it's a different thing than what we normally ask guests to do. And talking about your own dating life can be challenging. So I really appreciate you opening up and sharing this with us, because so many of us are trying to navigate all of these intimate relationships and our own needs in different ways. So it's really helpful, Laura. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Rachel in Brattleboro writes, I met my partner through a dating app this summer. We kept our early dates outside, going for walks, hikes, and biking. Vermont offers so many opportunities for outdoor adventures that we really didn't struggle to find ideas for COVID-safe dates. Now that the temperature has dropped, we are planning winter hikes and skiing. The hardest part has been introducing each other to family and friends. We're both social people and would typically be gathering with friends and bringing each other into our broader lives. COVID has forced our relationship to be intensely individual in a way that I had not expected. It's really hard to navigate seeing friends as it is, let alone bringing another person into the mix. I hadn't thought about that, Rachel. Thank you for bringing that up. And Nate in Burlington says, my girlfriend and I have been dating for a few months now. We started talking on an app. We meet up once a week and go for a socially distanced walk and wear masks. We talk almost every night over FaceTime, and even though we haven't had any physical contact yet, I couldn't be happier with how things are going. We're really getting to know each other and becoming best friends, and I don't know if that would have happened the same way if it wasn't for COVID. Looking forward to the future, I just wanted to share our silver lining. And let's go to Annie, who's calling in from Saxton's River. Hi, Annie. What about you? What are you thinking? And what's your situation with dating and COVID?
Hi. I am actually going to echo something that the person that you just read mentioned, that one of the silver linings of dating in the time of COVID is that it kind of, if you're safety conscious and communicating, you know, via technology, it kind of forces you to become friends first. And, you know, you can't rush headlong into anything. And I think that's a good thing, you know, and I'm experiencing that, just getting to know a person over FaceTime. And, you know, and then also in New England, the gazebo is your friend to meet someone and, you know, just for an initial get together to meet someone before moving on to big commitments like hiking and other outdoor things like that. So I think, you know, there are some, I don't know, it's not good things, but there are silver linings.
Yeah.
About it.
Annie, what about the, so that was Nate who was saying, you know, I'm becoming friends with this person and I'm not sure that would have happened otherwise. But, and Rachel mentioned though, that it's really hard if you're a social person and you might want to bring your relationship into your other friendships and family,
right,
that you can't do that. So is that something you've experienced as well?
I'm not at that point yet, but last week I actually had a FaceTime with a friend in San Francisco, and she had been planning to come out here to visit with her new husband, who I haven't met, but instead I met him on FaceTime. So just kind of introducing him to people that way, because they had kind of a quick relationship and marriage, and that's how he's meeting people online. So, yeah, I think that does pose a challenge, just like it's posing all kinds of socializing challenges. But I think, you know, we need to make the most of it. And I feel grateful for technology in a way that I certainly haven't before, with family and friends and exploring a new relationship.
Well, Annie, congratulations and good luck to you. And thank you very much for sharing your perspective with us. I appreciate hearing from you. And listeners, we'd love to hear your perspective as well. If you want to talk to us about what it's been like for you to try to date during the pandemic, what's working, what's not working, or if you'd like some advice, if you have a relationship question that's vexing you, we're talking with Marla Goldstein, who runs G-Spot Coaching for clients under age 28. And also works as a dating violence educator with Steps to End Domestic Violence. And don't worry if you're not Gen Z or a millennial. We're also joined now by another relationship coach. Beth Martell runs Martell Coaching and works with a wider age range. Hi, Beth. Thank you for joining us.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
So what do you think? You know, we've heard from a couple people now, both Nate and Annie, who are saying, I've found and forged a friendship in a different way because of the restrictions that have been placed on us by COVID. And at least for both of them, it's been really welcome or wonderful to be able to have that kind of friendship building, perhaps when physical intimacy just actually isn't even possible right now. Is that something that you're hearing from others?
Yeah, and I'm actually helping people to see it that way, to see the silver linings, to see the growth possible, including that even though, you know, lots of my clients are expressing what lots of callers and have expressed here today, that it, COVID adds a layer of negotiating, including the initial meeting and decisions of commitment. Yet what remains unchanged in COVID and at all times is that the foundation of all healthy relationships is a healthy relationship with ourselves and a deep fulfillment of self from the inside. And so it's interesting when people can have more of that experience, including those core friendships, which really kind of mirrors that friendship that we can have with ourselves.
I want to talk a little bit about romance and intimacy, and it doesn't necessarily, and in some cases, can't be physically intimate right now. But Marla, I mean, your coaching business is called G-Spot Coaching, so I know that you think and talk about this, and you talk about it in multiple different ways. So, you know, and just a shout out here, if you're listening with small kids, we are going to talk a little bit about physicality and sex right now. But so, Marla, you know, what are you recommending to people who are missing that aspect of their lives, even if they can't get it physically right now or physically with another person, at least?
I think what I'm seeing is sexting is absolutely on the rise. Sexting, it's always been there, but now more than ever, sexting is one of the safest ways to be intimate with a person that you are not able to see physically. I mean, people in long distance relationships have been sexting this, you know, throughout this whole time before the pandemic. So it's a little adjustment for folks that are not used to doing that, but really exploring what sensuality and what intimacy means to you. And sexting is not just limited to sending photos of certain parts of your body. Sexting can be reading a voice note or reading a poem that you wrote, or just talking about things that you would be doing together and not even involving photos. So there's so many different ways to intimately connect with people that you're involved with that don't involve that physical touch aspect. But like you just mentioned, it's really all comes down to your relationship with yourself. So if you have a solid foundation of intimacy and sensuality with yourself, I think that these times will be a little bit easier to get through while you wait until you're able to see people in person again to embrace the physical nature of your intimate relationships.
Marla, you mentioned earlier that, you know, people your age are really familiar with technology. And so, you know, you were even saying some of the challenges come with meeting somebody in person and, you know, feeling awkward or dealing with that. So do you find that for the clients that you work with and for people in your sort of peer group, that sexting is not something that is awkward to start, or is it still? I mean, especially with a new person.
Oh, it is so awkward to start for some people. And my heart goes out to them because their intentions are so in the right way. But sexting is a tool of intimacy, and tools are things that we need to be taught how to use properly. So there are absolutely resources and ways to learn about how to have healthy and effective sexting with people that you're involved with, but also really thinking about like what kinds of things turn you on and what are you into and what would you want to hear from this person, and really being transparent about the things that you enjoy and things that you don't enjoy, even when they're not related to physical touch.
Right. I mean, that could be difficult if you're looking at somebody, you can gauge their reaction to what you're saying or doing. Mm-hmm. If you type it out and you don't hear back, you don't know whether the person is thinking or is like, oh, that does not work for me. I did not like that, unless they text it back to you.
Yeah, yeah. I think that so maybe in the moment feedback for sexting isn't the best time, but I think that there should absolutely be a debrief conversation after that. Or what did you maybe the next day, 2 days after? What was that like for you? What did you enjoy? What would you like to see more of? What would you like to see less of? This is definitely harder to navigate, like you said, when you're not able to get that immediate feedback in the moment. But sexting is a really beautiful and available way to share intimacy with people. And it is a behavior that can absolutely be learned no matter who you are. You can learn how to do this well to cater to your partner's needs and your relationship.
Beth, how are you talking to people about what they're experiencing with potentially a loss of physical intimacy?
Yeah, I like to focus on the growth that's possible, you know, in any hard time. In fact, it's really in the hard times that we do our most growing. So just that growth, if it includes sexting for the first time, walking, you know, hiking in the snow for the first time, becoming friends for the first time before, you know, physical intimacy happens. What is that personal invitation of growth for you as a human being? Just to grow beyond our current experience, including to really be deeply attuned with yourself, because in all of this negotiation of COVID and the decisions and how you'll meet someone and if you'll sext this evening or not, is the staying really attuned to yourself. The duality of a beautiful relationship is attuning to self while also attuning to others.
What about for people who are saying, but I really miss touch? Because, you know, it's not just romantic intimacy. For so many people right now, it's like I'm not getting hugs from my friends. I'm not playing with the children who are normally in my life if I don't live with them, if they're not my kids. And I may not be getting a massage because maybe that's not something that I'm comfortable with. And I can't be romantically intimate with somebody right now because of restrictions. You know, like what do you say, Beth, to people who are like, I'm really struggling with a lack of touch, physical touch?
Yeah, and I really miss it myself. We can just use it as a temporary opportunity to encourage ourselves, to kind of be with ourselves, to possibly explore other physical enjoyment. Just use the hard time as an opportunity. So how else might we enjoy our own bodies, our own selves? How could we encourage ourselves, including that this isn't going to last forever, just to use what seems like a hardship or a void to get with ourselves and use it as opportunity? You know, what am I experiencing right now? What's the hardest part? How could it be my best relationship to myself right now?
Let's go to Noah. Noah's calling in from Hinesburg. Hey, Noah, go right ahead. What's your experience been?
Hi. Well, I could definitely relate to some of the points Marla was just making. I've been so lucky to have been able to live with my partner and her parents' home here in Hinesburg since the COVID lockdown. And we've been dating for almost over a year. And it definitely has been a time for really not only growth in our relationship and living together for so long and kind of just happened upon us, but for, you know what Martha's saying, getting into it yourself and knowing what you like to do and, you know, getting intimate with yourself just as much as intimate with your partner. And it's really been an opportunity for growth for us. And I'm really grateful for that. And I know a lot of people have been struggling with it, and I can definitely feel for that.
Noah, you moved in not only with your girlfriend, but with her parents. So you're navigating multiple kinds of relationships and relationship changes. What's that been like for you?
Yeah, the biggest challenge with that has, since her parents are, you know, kind of older, has been we've really been in lockdown and not been taking very many risks at all. And that's been hard because, in one sense, because we're both college age students. And so we're not able to see our friends, and our friends may want to see us, and we just have to say, you know, we're sorry, but we were living with people who are at a high risk, and we just had to take extra precautions because of that. So that, I would say that would be the biggest cost to doing this. But, you know, from compared in to what other people may have to deal with, I still feel grateful for it.
Well, Noah, I'm really glad you shared your perspective. It's cool to hear and really great to hear that, you know, you're navigating this relationship with your girlfriend in a new way by moving in together. And then your relationship with her parents and this sort of multi-generational household. It's really great to hear that that's been going well for you. We got a note from Tom who writes, any suggestions for how to keep it interesting and engaging over video? I've been video chatting with someone since September who lives an hour and a half away in another state. When we were ready to meet in October, her county turned orange, so we couldn't travel without a quarantine, which is not practical for either of us. We're interested in connecting and curious about our connection, but just meeting over video makes it hard to know if it's really a good fit. Can't see the rules changing for travel for at least another month. Sometimes conversation flows well, sometimes not. Suggestions? Marla, what do you think?
I think there's a lot of different options that you can do over video chat. If they both have Netflix subscriptions, I know that Netflix allows you to do watch parties with people that you can share the link to the teleparty with. You just have to download a Chrome extension for that. So you can watch something together. What I've been doing with friends is sometimes we'll buy all of the same ingredients for a recipe and we will video chat while we make the same recipe and then eat a meal together. If you have the same games together, if you both like to play a certain game, you could each play it from your end of the screen and then just mark the other person's scorecard as your person that you're playing with progresses in the game. But I think that if you just get on video chat and are only talking all the time, like the listener said, that gets a little bit old. So figuring out a craft project that maybe you can do together, maybe planning a night to do something like 20 questions and looking online for question options that you can do to, I think they're called intimacy promoting questions. So they help you feel closer to your partner. But there's a lot of other things that you can do together while you are apart. And I think that's really one of the challenges here is having the motivation to come up with these innovative ways. But it sounds like this person is really invested in their relationship. So I trust that they will be able to find things outside of their comfort zone and grow together in that, as long as they're willing to look outside of the things that they normally do in their routine.
Right. And there's nothing wrong with laughing a little bit about how goofy it is to like cook online together and then finding some joy in it. Because it's some of this stuff is weird. We're not used to doing that.
Yeah, and it's not even about the recipe. You know, you could eat whatever you want, but it's the experience of cooking together. How does this person do things? Do they like to read directions? Are they patient? Are they impatient? Do they like things well done while you like them undercooked?
So could be a problem. Find that out early on. It's game over.
That's a deal breaker. So I'd want to know that immediately if I was cooking with someone on FaceTime. So there's a lot of really, really good blog posts out there right now for folks that are navigating this too. I really have noticed an uptick in the amount of connection and relationship and intimacy building blogs that I've been subscribing to, which has been really nice to read through that people are problem solving even throughout this really stressful time. We're still thinking about moving forward.
Beth, what about for you? Any ideas or creative ways that you're hearing that people are making online work?
Yeah, and Marl already made such a great list there, including, you know, just to find that what inspires us from within. How can we spark our own sort of humor, curiosity? How can we spark that all within, whether it's a documentary we just saw or that, you know, we watch together or separately and then share? I had some clients who met and then got separated. And they did this, they had this experience they thought they would never do where one of them threw out the idea of a song, writing a short dance to a song. I guess they had been watching Dancing with the Stars at some point. And they were both uncomfortable with the thought of it. But then they said they were laughing so hard, they both made up each a little dance, came back and performed it.
Whoa.
And I almost want to try it myself. It sounds so hilarious. So again, yeah, that idea of expanding, of growing, of looking for silver linings and creating them, of sparking our own new curiosity, sparking ourselves out of our boredom from within and then sharing it with others.
Yeah, wow. And the trust that you have to have in someone else when you perform a dance in front of them, that would be a real trust-building exercise for me. Let's get another voice in here. Kay Berto lives in Burlington and is the founder of Vermont Ethical Non-Monogamy. Kay, welcome back. Nice to talk with you.
Nice to talk to you as well. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, we've been talking about dating, and I think there's often an assumption that it's like, you know, you're dating one person or you're forging a relationship and gaining intimacy with one person. That's, of course, not how everybody dates, and it's not how everybody lives. And so you're the founder of Vermont Ethical Non-Monogamy. How are you navigating, and how are the other members of your group navigating non-monogamy during a time when we're so physically isolated from one another and in many cases have to choose one other household to be a part of?
Yeah, it's certainly been an interesting go in the last 9 months, which I think is true, you know, for everyone, regardless of sort of how they structure their relationship.
Right.
But yeah, in sort of in my circles, I know for myself, at least, I'm married. I've been with my wife for 12 years, but we choose not to cohabitate. So it's been a particular set of interesting circumstances to navigate around that, because obviously with the lockdowns and our own personal risk factors, having, you know, I have roommates, some of whom work out of the home. She has family members who work in places that would cause significant issues as transmission vectors. You know, we haven't really been able to see each other very much. We've had a couple of outdoor distance dates, and we've spent a week together. I spent a week at her house recently, which right before the multi-household mandate came down. Thank goodness that we sort of got that, you know, done right in the nick of time. But it's definitely been interesting to navigate on that front. And on another front, my partner of 7 years and I haven't, you know, hugged each other in 9 months. And that's been definitely difficult to navigate.
Yeah. And, you know, not only just the loss of the physical connections with those people, but also then trying to figure out like conversations around who is your pod going to be when we're allowed to have pods and who isn't in your pod and how do you figure out, you know, who your one household might be. I mean, that's got to be an especially big challenge when you start to bring in relationship intimacy and the potential for jealousy or miscommunication.
Absolutely. And, you know, it really requires some careful navigation around those topics. But I think, you know, in the ethical non-monogamy community, that's, you know, somebody I think earlier said, you know, it's about tools. And I you know, one of the tools that we're lucky to really have and that I think we spend a lot of time developing in that community is communication around things like risk factors and learning a skill around being able to take rejection gracefully and not personally.
Hmm. So in some ways, that conversation about COVID boundaries is maybe not as much of a leap to have if you're already having conversations about other kinds of relationship boundaries.
Absolutely. And you know, that's not limited to non-monogamous
right.
relationships per se, of course, but I do think that it is something that you know, we have to develop a little more conscientiously in order to make those kinds of relationships work. And so I think that when we have those conversations, you know, we're already sort of suited to navigate them and to, you know, really be able to be honest about what our risk factors are without feeling shamed or ashamed, and sort of, you know, really be able to make decisions that are about what's best for everybody without taking it, like I said, too personally, because I think it's easy to do that. It's easy to feel rejected if somebody says, you know, I just don't feel safe, you know, with your level of risk currently. And I think it's best if we, you know, spend a little time not hanging out and see where things are when, you know, rates go down or there's a vaccine or whatever the case may be.
We've been hearing a lot of people talking about silver linings and things that are working well for you. I mean, it sounds really challenging that you're not seeing either of your partners in person or both of those partners that you mentioned. So how are you, you know, how are you finding things that are keeping you going or working well or feeling good?
Yeah, well, I was actually with a partner early during COVID and ended up cohabitating with them sort of early on due to COVID, actually, just because of the complexity of navigating, you know, going back and forth between apartments and trying to mitigate risk and all of those sorts of things. So I was really lucky during the first lockdown to have somebody to share that, you know, that burden with, that anxiety with, you know, as an earlier caller was talking about. And now it's been sort of interesting because that relationship has ended. But I'm back to sort of living, you know, just with roommates, but by my lonesome in terms of any romantic or sexual relationship. And so, you know, I think being able to start my day one or day zero of, you know, no physical contact a lot later in the pandemic means I have maybe a little bit more resiliency than I think maybe some of the people who have been sort of stuck in that situation, you know, since March, because that's really hard. And I you know, I can't discount how difficult that must be.
Yeah, well, Kay, it's nice to check in with you again, and I really appreciate you talking with us today and adding to the complexity of what it's like to try to navigate relationships during a pandemic. Thank you very much.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Kay Brito is the founder of Vermont Ethical Non-Monogamy. Marla Goldstein, just a couple seconds left. Any advice for people who are feeling lonely or trying to navigate the complexity of dating during the pandemic?
If you're able to, it is so worth investing in yourself. I purchased 2 weighted blankets and a 6-foot teddy bear, so I have something to cuddle with since I live by myself too. So really taking care of myself has been a lifesaver throughout this time, ridiculous as that might sound.
No, I would just like to have been the person delivering the 6-foot teddy bear. That must have been interesting.
Yeah, it's my companion, and we're all going to get through this. For the first time, there's actually a light at the end of the tunnel, and really everyone should hang in there, continue loving yourself through this. As we've been talking about today, starting with loving yourself will attract all the kinds of people into your life that you want to love you, and that's really how our successful relationships start manifesting.
Well, I really appreciate hearing both of you. Beth, I'm sorry we ran short on time. I wanted to get your top tips, too. But if you email them to us, we'll put them on our website. Marla Goldstein runs G-Spot Coaching and works as a dating violence educator with Steps to End Domestic Violence. Beth Martell is a life coach in Essex Junction. Her business is called Martell Coaching. Beth and Marla, thanks very much to both of you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jane.